Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, November 20, 2024, 2 Corinthians.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. Therefore, open the word of God to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And in preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, we are in one of the most unique passages in the Word of God, and when you combine the inspiration ministry of God the Holy Spirit along with an apostle who is a genius, the Apostle Paul, you wind up with a passage like this, 2 Corinthians 6, verses 4 through 10. In 2 Corinthians 6, verses 4 through 10, we have three demonstrations of the ministry of the winner believer in full-time Christian service. In this passage, the Apostle Paul gives three demonstrations of the winner believers, the spiritually mature believers' spiritual life, with three series of nines. Category number one, suffering for blessing, given to the winner believer. That's in verses 4 and 5, and it sounds like this. Rather, in every way, we demonstrate ourselves as servants of God by means of courageous endurance and perseverance. One, in the sphere of afflictions. Two, in calamities. Three, in distresses and troubles. Four, in beatings. Five, in imprisonments. Six, in riots, mobs, political persecution. Seven, in hard work to the point of total exhaustion. Eight, in sleepless nights. Nine, in hunger. And then category number two, we have nine characteristics that mark the winner believer's attainment of spiritual maturity and having virtue love brought to completion in his heart. And that's verses 6 and 7. One, by means of purity. Two, by means of knowledge, maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart. Three, by means of makrothumia, patience and forbearance. Four, by means of Christotes, kindness, grace function. 5, by the agency of the Holy Spirit. 6, by genuine virtue love. That's virtue love without hypocrisy, unhypocritical virtue love. Verse 7. 7, by means of the word of absolute truth, Bible doctrine. 8, by means of the power of God, God the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Spirit. 9, by means of the weapons of righteousness, the armor of God, for the right hand and the left, for offense, the sword of the Spirit, and for defense, the shield of faith. Now that brought us to category number 3, 9 paradoxes of the winner believer. And that's in verses 8 through 10. We've studied the first 4 of these paradoxes. Paradox number 1, by means of glory and dishonor. In 2 Corinthians 8 to 9a, the Apostle Paul spoke of conflicting responses to his ministry. There were those who had positive volition and humility and responded and believed Paul's teaching of the God-breathed scriptures, and that's what every faithful communicator loves to see. They saw the reflected glory of the Lord Jesus Christ in Paul's teaching of grace and truth. Those positive believers with humility, they welcome Paul. They welcome Paul like Jesus Christ himself. Galatians 4:14. But more often, the Apostle Paul faced sins of the tongue, insults, and dishonor. 1 Corinthians 4:9 to 13. But the Apostle Paul is a spiritually mature believer. He has virtue love brought to completion in his heart. And that enabled Paul to weather the storm of sins of the tongue, slander, judging, maligning, insults, and dishonor. The winner believer shows the reflected glory of the Lord Jesus Christ to all, to those that love you and to those who hate you. Virtue love brought to completion in the winner believer's heart gives him great stability to manifest impersonal love for all mankind. And then that brought us to paradox number 2, by means of slander and praise. We have 2 hapax legomenons in paradox number 2, and only would you have this with a genius like the Apostle Paul. Deuphemia, euphemia. Paul was slandered and maligned by both believers and unbelievers, 1 Corinthians 4:13, Romans 3, verses 7 and 8. The Apostle Paul and all spiritually mature believers have virtue love brought to completion in their heart. His great motivational virtue of personal love for God the Father and occupation with Jesus Christ motivated the great functional virtue of having impersonal love for all, to those who slander you and to those who praise you. And therefore, the winner believer can handle all of the sins of the tongue of others. Why? Because he has virtue love brought to completion in his heart. That's the ultimate objective of the spiritual life in the church age. The winner is occupied with Christ. The other side of the coin of occupation with Christ is plus H, self-contained happiness. He shares the happiness of God, which is a perfect happiness. And that happiness is there every moment, every day, all day long through his life. Whether he is slandered by others, deuphemia, or praised by others, euphemia. The winner believer with virtue love does not depend on what people think about him or say about him. The winner believer's happiness, plus age, God's perfect happiness in his soul, depends on God. Occupation with Jesus Christ and sharing the happiness of God, not on what people think or say about him. Virtue, love, and the heart of the winner believer reflects the glory of God, whether he is slandered or praised. And that brought us to paradox number three. As deceivers and imposters, and yet truthful and honest. Paul and his team were genuine apostles and teachers of the grace and truth of the Word of God. And yet there were some who regarded them as imposters, teachers of false doctrine. You see, it is a part of Satan's strategy as the ruler of this world to attack the spiritually mature believer living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. The winner believer will be misunderstood by many people and accused of being deceivers and imposters when your life in reality manifests maximum grace orientation and doctrinal orientation because you fulfilled the mandate of 2 Peter 3:18. You've grown up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Every winner believer is going to face the undeserved suffering of being misunderstood when you are right. But you can't stand around and spend the rest of your life trying to justify your living the spiritual life. People who judge and slander and malign you of being a deceiver and an imposter will come under triple compound divine discipline because of it. Matthew 7, 1-3. You have the privacy of your royal priesthood to live your life as unto the Lord Jesus Christ. You are living your life by the grace and the absolute truth of the Word of God in your heart. That brought us to paradox number four. As not knowing the Word of God, and yet knowing the Word of God exactly, completely, through and through. There were those who, especially the Judaizers, in Paul's day, who accused the Apostle Paul of being ignorant of the Word of God. They accused him of not knowing the Mosaic Law. They considered themselves as experts on the Mosaic Law. The sad fact was, they weren't even believers. They had distorted the Mosaic Law into a false gospel that salvation was by works, by keeping the works of the law. They distorted it from the purpose of the grace gospel. Salvation is by grace through faith. For by grace you are saved through faith. This salvation is not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. They distorted the Mosaic Law. They thought they were experts on the Mosaic Law. So they accused the Apostle Paul of being ignorant of the Word of God. Because he communicated salvation by grace, not by works. The Apostle Paul and all winner believers have maximum amount of the Word of God in their heart. And therefore, the winner believer knows the Word of God exactly, completely, and through. And that brought us to paradox number 5, and we just barely got started in paradox number 5 last week, so we'll pick it up here. Paradox number 5, it says this in the King James, as dying, and behold, we live. This is the conjunction host plus the present active participle of the verb apothenesco, plus the conjunction chi with the demonstrative particle edu, plus the present active indicative of zao. Once again, the conjunction host sets up a comparison and is correctly translated as. And then we have the verb apothenesco. Looks like this in the Greek. A-P-O-T-H-N, long E-S-K, long O, apothenesco. And we just got the first 4 points on this, and we had to stop class last week. Point one was, literally, apothenesco means to die, and it refers to physical death, literally. Point two, Arnton Gingrich, the Greek lexicon, page 91, tells us that in our verse, 2 Corinthians 6, verse 9, apothenesco means to be about to die, to be facing a dying situation, facing death, possible death. It means you are in the process of dying, or you could very easily die being in this situation. Point three, this is suffering that comes from a dangerous situation and dangerous circumstances. And therefore, there is certainly the very good possibility that you could die. Point four, you don't know whether you are going to live or you're going to die. There is a very good possibility that you could die from this suffering. That's what we have here with apothenesco. Now we pick it up tonight, starting at point five. The Apostle Paul went through these, not just Paul, but all of his team that were with him, Timothy and Titus and Apollos and all the boys that were on his team, went through these kind of situations and great suffering many times. And we'll take a look at some of these in the Word of God. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We'll start at verse 8, 2 Corinthians 1, verse 8. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, fellow believers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. They thought there was a very good possibility they were going to die from this suffering. Indeed, in our hearts, we felt the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope, our confidence. They had maximum confidence in God. On him, on the living and true God, we have set our hope, our confidence, that he will continue to deliver us as you help us by your prayers. Here is the power of intercessory prayer. And there were mature believers that were prayer warriors. And they had powerful and effective intercessory prayer. They were praying for Paul. They were praying for Apollos and Timothy and Titus, the whole team. As you help us by your prayers, then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted to us in answer to the prayers of many. Now you are, this church is made up of fantastic prayer warriors because most of you have grown up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. You've advanced to spiritual adulthood. And the prayers of a grace righteous believer are powerful and effective and accomplish much. And that's why we get phone calls and emails from all over America and other countries, Africa, telling us and asking us to pray for them and give us a situation. They have heard the effectiveness, the powerful effectiveness of the prayers of the congregation at Upland Bible Church. And of course, our congregation is beyond those who are here for face-to-face teaching. Most of this congregation is non-face-to-face all over America and in other parts of the world. And what is stated here by the Apostle Paul, many, many believers have said the exact same thing who, as a result of your prayers on their behalf. So here is this great passage, 2 Corinthians 1, 8 through 11. Now turn over to chapter 4. Second Corinthians 4, start at verse 10. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 10. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. And then turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And we'll start at verse 23, 2 Corinthians 11, verse 23. He starts out, he says, are they servants of Christ? I am out of my mind to talk like this. I am more. I have worked much harder. I have been in prison more frequently. I have been flogged more severely. And been exposed to death, again and again. That's exactly what he is presenting here in our paradox number 5. I have been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. That's the way they executed people. They would throw stones until they were dead. I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from the Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers. I have labored and toiled, and I have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst, and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak and I do not feel weak? Who is led into sin and I do not inwardly burn? Well, these passages, 2 Corinthians 1, 8 through 11, 2 Corinthians 4, 10 and 11, 2 Corinthians 11, 23 to 29, illustrates point 5. The Apostle Paul went through these situations and great suffering, facing death many, many times. Point 6. This suffering was so great that it is possible that you will leave the tent of your human body and go on to be face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. This suffering is so great that it's certainly possible that you will leave this tent of your human body, physical death, and go on to be face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. Seven. This is the spiritually mature believer who is facing physical death, and he's facing it by the grace and power of God. He's using God's problem-solving devices. He has learned God's problem-solving devices. They're in his heart. That's the precisely correct procedure of how you, well, I've taught this principle on running hurdles. I ran in track and field when I was in college. And when I look at these, this undeserved suffering for blessing, I view it as running hurdles, spiritual hurdles. And when you run hurdles, you got to have precisely correct procedure to clear the hurdle. Well, these are spiritual hurdles that the spiritually mature believer will have face and clear the hurdle, but he needs precisely correct procedure. And that's God's problem-solving device. God is giving us 10 problem-solving devices. Precisely correct procedure to clear the hurdles of suffering for blessing. So this is the winner believer who is facing physical death. He's facing physical death with God's problem-solving devices in his heart. He's clearing the spiritual hurdles with precisely correct procedure. He's utilizing the grace and the power of God. Point 8, he understands and knows the faith-rest life. God has given us this faith-rest life, one of the great problem-solving devices, the faith-rest life, and virtue love brought to completion in his heart. This is the ultimate objective of the spiritual life for you. To have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. It includes three parts. First of all, personal love for God the Father. Now, when you have personal love for God the Father, you know what that means? It means you know Him. You know who and what he is. It means you know the essence of God. It means you know the attributes of God. You know that God is sovereignty, righteousness, justice, love, eternal life, omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, immutability, veracity. You know every attribute of the essence of God. And because you know God, you know his essence inside and out, well, you just start thinking who and what God is. You love him because you know him. Well, you got a problem in your life. This is where, as you reach that point of personal love for God the Father, okay, a major suffering, a major problem comes into your life. The winner believer starts going through the essence of God. God is sovereignty. Sovereignty means that Jesus Christ, God the Father, and Jesus Christ, they are the quarterback. They call the plays. They're the potter and we're the clay. Their decisions are perfect. They make a perfect decision in your life. Everything that goes on in your life is a perfect decision from God. And you recognize that. This is a decision that God made for you from the sovereignty of God. God is righteousness and justice. He's infinite virtue, infinite integrity, infinite honor, and he's infinitely fair. God is always infinitely fair with every one of you. And you know that. When you have personal love for God the Father, you know that first of all, he's the quarterback. He calls the plays. You know that. He makes the decisions, what happens in your life. And you know he's infinitely fair in the decision he makes. And you know he's virtue love. You know he loves you with infinite virtue love as you're going through this. And you know that he is eternal life. And that you have the gift of eternal life and eternal security. You have that at the moment of salvation. At the moment of faith in Christ, God gives you the gift of eternal life. Through the baptism of the Spirit, you're entered into union with Christ and share the eternal life of Jesus Christ. You know that he is the omniscient God. He knows all things, the all-knowing God. And as the omniscient God, he knows all about all of your situations and circumstances and everything about what you're going through. He is omnipresent. The omnipresent God. At the moment of salvation, you're indwelt by God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit are inside of you. They're with you every single second of every single day. They're always with you. And so, you're never alone. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is with you every moment of every single day. And he is the omnipotent God, the creator of the universe, and that means he can solve any problem. God can solve any problem. You know that he's the omnipotent God. You know he's immutable, the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know he's veracity, infinite truth and faithfulness, so you can have maximum confidence in God and in the Word of God. Just having personal love for God the Father, knowing who and what he is, knowing the attributes of God, the essence of God. Why? You can clear any spiritual hurdle just by knowing and having virtue love brought to completion in your heart. A second part of virtue love is impersonal love for all mankind. All mankind. The good, the bad, and the ugly. You treat everyone with virtue, everyone with honor. That is impersonal love for all mankind. And you have occupation with Jesus Christ. And what's the other side of the coin of occupation with Christ? Perfect happiness. You have perfect happiness in your heart. You share the happiness of God. Occupation with Christ means Jesus Christ has made himself at home in your heart. He's made himself at home in your heart. He's with you. You enjoy Him, you fellowship with Him moment by moment, day by day, no matter what's going on in your life, whether you're facing a suffering, possibly even death, no problem. Jesus Christ has made Himself at home in your heart, and you share the happiness of God. And when you have plus H, that's permanent. That's permanent. Doesn't depend on your circumstances. You could be in prosperity, or you could be in adversity. You could be in great health, or you could be in horrible health. You could have a terminal illness. You could have cancer. Doesn't make any difference. You share the happiness of God no matter what's going on in your life, no matter what's going on in the world, no matter what's going on in America, no matter what's going on in Las Vegas, no matter what's going on at your job. You have happiness that's permanent. It's there all the time, moment by moment, day by day. Well, when you have that, you clear the hurdle. You clear these spiritual hurdles that we have here. So the spiritually mature believer, one, he knows the faith rest life. He's living the faith rest life. He has virtue love brought to completion in his heart. He has personal love for God the Father. He knows who and what God is. He knows the essence of God, the attributes of God. He has impersonal love for all mankind, the good, the bad, and the ugly. He has occupation with Jesus Christ. Christ made Himself at home in his heart. He has great inner happiness, God's perfect happiness in his heart, which is permanent and is always there. And great relaxed mental attitude. He reflects the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ to the maximum. He has no regrets. He has that inner peace that transcends all human understanding. When you have that, it doesn't make any difference whether you are facing a situation that you could very easily die or not. Not a big deal. Now, I've faced those kind of situations every time I get in my car and drive. Now, most of you know that I have a tendency of wanting to go to sleep while I'm driving. That's not a good idea, to go to sleep while you're driving. And I've done that a few times. We've been on hunting trips and everybody's lined up behind me and I'm driving along. I fell asleep at the wheel. And went off the road, disappeared down over an embankment. I woke up when I hit the guardrail. Boom! That woke me up. I thought somebody shot at me. And then I'm going down the hill. Down like a... And I'm going, oh boy. Okay, well, we're going to go meet the Lord here just in a few seconds. And everybody else that was behind me go, oh, Pastor Olson, he's dead. He went over the hill. He's dead. We just lost our pastor, and I'm going down. And the thing is, I got a trailer behind with ATV behind, and I'm going to lose everything. Everything's going to total out. I'm going to go to heaven, and well, they can have a memorial service for me. I got down to the bottom. I'm still here, and I look in the mirror. My trailer's still there. ATVs are still on there. So there's a little dirt road at the bottom. I went along that dirt road, and everybody's up on their weepy and crying. He's dead. We lost our pastor. And I came back up to the road and got out, big smile on my face. I'm still here, you know. But one thing that happened from that, nobody wants to ride with me when I'm driving anyway. So I get to drive by myself. The conjunction chi is the adversative chi, and it's correctly translated, and yet, or and in spite of that, or nevertheless. And then we have the demonstrative particle, edu. I-D-O-U, edu. And that means behold, behold. And then we have the verb zao. Z-A-long-O, zao. Now we had, the first one was apothenesco, to die or be on the very good possibility to die. And now we have the verb to live. Zao is the verb to live. It's physical life in contrast to death. So this says, behold, right now, you're still alive. You are still alive in the middle of a dying situation. You're still alive. The spiritually mature believer puts the whole situation in the Lord's hands. Maximum faith, rest, life. Virtue, love. He knows God, knows the essence of God, knows the attributes of God. And therefore, he does not fall apart. And he never, ever gives up. He does not fall apart and he never gives up. Look over at 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. 2 Corinthians 4, 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, we're falling apart physically, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. That inner man is your growing up, learning the Word of God, growing up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, advancing to maturity. So the corrected translation of paradox number 5 is, as dying, and yet behold, we live. As dying, and yet, behold, we live. Now, that brings us to paradox number 6. As chastened and not killed. This is the conjunction host plus the present passive participle of paideuo plus the conjunction kai with the present passive participle of thanatao with the negative me. Once again, the conjunction host is sets up a comparison, correctly translated as, and then we have the verb paiduo. Paiduo. That's P-A-I-D-E-U long O. Paiduo. A couple of things on this verb. First of all, paiduo means to bring up, to instruct, to train, to educate, to bring up, to instruct, to train, to educate. Secondly, point 2, paiduo was the verb describing parents training their children. Now, you as parents have a responsibility when you have children to train your children. And as Christians, as believers in Jesus Christ, you have a responsibility of, first of all, giving them the grace gospel, the possibility for eternal salvation, faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. For by grace you are saved through faith, and this salvation is not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So it's you, parents, you have a wonderful, as Christian parents, to give the grace gospel to your children again and again. Give them so they understand the issue of eternal salvation to live with God forever in heaven. And then you teach them one of the most important things you can teach them as parents is humility, respect for authority, respect for the authority of God, respect for the authority of the Word of God, respect for the authority of the pastor who teaches the Word of God, and respect for anyone in authority, anyone. Respect mom and dad. Respect the authority of mom and dad. Respect the authority of your teachers. Respect the authority of your coaches. That respect for authority is a very important part of your training your children. That's what paiduo means. That's you training your children. And sometimes that training includes spanking. And spanking is not a bad thing. Why do you spank your children? Because you love them. That's why. You love them. And if you don't spank your children, then you don't love them. Because children, well, they're children. They have a lot to learn. And they make a lot of bad decisions. And you spank them because you love them and you don't want them to crash and burn. And so spanking is a part. And same way with God. We have a Heavenly Father. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 and following says that those whom the Lord loves, He disciplines. God spanks us and disciplines us because He loves us. Our Heavenly Father spanks us because He loves us. You as parents spank your children when they might be little children playing in the street and almost get run over. You don't want them run over by a car. So you spank them because you love them. You don't want them to be a grease spot out there. You don't want them to crash and burn. And the same way with our Heavenly Father, He spanks us because He loves us. When we start making bad decisions and we're going to crash and burn, God will spank us because He wants to bless us. He wants to bless us. Parents want us to bless their children. Our Heavenly Father wants to bless us. He doesn't want us to crash and burn. So paiduo is spanking. It's discipline. And then, point three, paiduo was used for punishment, beatings, whipping, scourging. Then paiduo was used for punishment, beatings, whipping, scourging. And we have this is in our passage, 2 Corinthians 6, verses 4 and 5. And in 2 Corinthians 11, 23 to 25. The conjunction chi is the adversative chi and is correctly translated and yet, and in spite of that, nevertheless. And then we have the verb thanatao. Thanatao, T-H-A-N-A-T-O, long O, thanatao. A couple of things on this verb, thanatao, literally means to kill someone or to hand someone over to be killed. To kill someone or to hand someone over to be killed. Two, it is especially used of the death sentence and capital punishment. It is especially used of the death sentence and capital punishment. Three, it means to be in danger of death. Now notice the end, this ending here, that's the a-o ending. And the a-o ending is causative. It's causative. They were caused to be put in danger of death. But we have with it the negative may, but in spite of all the beatings, that Paul faced, all of the scourging, all the whipping, he was not killed. So, as beaten, and yet not killed. Paradox number 6. As beaten and yet not killed. So one, the spiritually mature believer has courageous endurance and perseverance in this suffering for blessing. The spiritually mature believer has courageous endurance and perseverance in this suffering for blessing. And we've had that already in verses 4 and 5. Rather, in every way we demonstrate ourselves as servants of God by means of courageous endurance and perseverance in the sphere of afflictions, in calamities, in distresses and troubles, in beatings, in imprisonments. We've already had this in our 2 Corinthians 6, verses 4 and 5. 2, Paul and his team were delivered by the grace and power of God. Paul and his team were delivered by the grace and the power of God. Three, God delivered him and sustained him. Turn over to 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4. Verse 7. But we have this treasure in jars of clay, to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. 2 Corinthians 4, 7 to 9. God delivered him and sustained him by his grace and power. So we have, as not knowing, accused of being ignorant of the word of God, and yet knowing the word of God exactly, completely, through and through, as dying, and yet behold we live, as beaten, and yet not killed. And now paradox number 7, verse 10. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Always rejoicing. 100%. No matter what's going on. Plus 8. Perfect happiness in your soul, no matter what's going on. Adversity, suffering, prosperity, no matter what. Good health, terminal illness, makes no difference what's going on. As sorrowful and yet always, always rejoicing. This is the conjunction hos plus the present passive participle of lupeo plus the conjunction de with the adverb ia plus the present active participle of kairo. Once again, the conjunction host sets up a comparison, correctly translated as, and then we have lupeo. Lupeo looks like this in the Greek. L-U-P-E, long O, lupeo. A couple of things on this verb. First of all, literally, lupeo means to grieve. To grieve, to have soul pain. This is soul pain. Two, in the passive voice, which is what we have, it means to become sad, to be sorrowful. to receive soul pain and suffering. To receive soul pain and suffering. Four, to be the recipient of grief. Five, to have an occasion for grief. Point three, lupeo means you have a tragedy that has occurred in your life, or a catastrophe that has occurred in your life. Four, you are receiving soul pain and grief, and yet you do not succumb to that soul pain and grief. You are receiving soul pain and grief, and yet you do not succumb to that soul pain and grief. Five, you go through these things, but you do not fall apart. You do not fall apart. The conjunction de is an adversative de and means but, however, or and yet. Or on the other hand, and the best translation is, and yet, and then, very important adverb, ae. This is extremely important. A-E-I, the adverb ae. It means always. Always. The conjunction de with ae says, and yet, always. And yet, always what? And yet, always. And then the verb kairo. Always kairoing. Always. C-H-A-I-R, long O. Always kairoing. So the verb kairo. The verb kairo, this is one of the great verbs in the New Testament for happiness. It's often translated to rejoice, to be glad, to be happy. But notice with the adverb ae, always, always having happiness. Now that's plus H. There are three kinds of happiness in the Word of God. Pseudo-happiness, minus H, that's what Satan offers in his cosmic system. There's no happiness there. Neutral H, that's establishment happiness, and that establishment truth is for the whole human race, believer and unbeliever alike. But establishment happiness is not permanent. It's depends on what's going on. You can have establishment happiness one minute and then not have it the next. But there is an establishment happiness. And then there is God's perfect happiness. That's plus H. That's permanent. Once you attain spiritual maturity, once you have Jesus Christ making himself at home in your heart, occupation with Christ, you have permanent happiness. Permanent happiness. No matter what is going on in your life by situations or circumstances. So, two, kairo means to have inner happiness. Plus H, the perfect happiness of God. Kairo means to have inner happiness. Plus H, the perfect happiness of God. Three, kairo is the other side of the coin of occupation with Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ makes himself at home in your heart, when you have occupation with Christ, you have permanent plus H. Permanent, no matter what is going on in the world, in America, in Las Vegas, at your job, you have permanent happiness. 4, virtue love enables you to have great inner happiness of soul, even when going through great pain and grief. Virtue love enables you to have great inner happiness of soul, even when going through great pain and grief. 5. Philippians 4 verse 4 is reality for the winner believer. You see, I always kind of have to chuckle about this. God has to give us a command to be happy. Because we're so locked in of being miserable, God has to command us. He gives us a command, mandate, to be happy, to share his happiness. Because for the most part, we just like being miserable SOBs, sons of Belial, you know. Turn over to Philippians 4. Philippians 4. We have the verb kairo. It's in the imperative mood. Imperative means this is a command. This is a command from God to all of us. God has to give us a command to kairo. Keep on having plus H. Keep on sharing the happiness of God in the Lord. How? Always. How long? Always. Every single minute of every single day, no matter what's going on. Keep on having plus H in the Lord. Always. That's God's plan. He wants you to have his perfect happiness always. Every moment of every day, once you reach spiritual maturity, this mandate is fulfilled. Now, not only does God give us a command to be happy, he repeats it. Now, God doesn't have to repeat, but when God does repeat it, pay attention. He repeats it. And I repeat, I say it again, imperative mood of Cairo. Keep on having plus H. Keep on having the perfect happiness of God. So rejoice. You might have rejoiced in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Imperative mood. This is God's mandate for every believer. Grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, attain spiritual maturity. You have Jesus Christ at home in your heart. The other side of the coin, you have perfect happiness. Always. Always. No matter what goes on, anywhere, situation, circumstances, you have God's happiness. Now, if you're sitting here this evening and you say, well, I don't have that perfect happiness all the time. Well, then this is a warning for you. This ought to encourage you. Encourage you to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skill. Encourage you to fulfill the mandate of growing up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, to be consistent and faithful in assembling in a sound Bible teaching church, and learn and believe the Word of God and grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. Because when you do, this will be reality. So the corrected translation of paradox number 7 is, as receiving pain and suffering, soul pain, and yet always having inner happiness. Always having inner happiness. Paradox number 7. Fantastic. This is reality in the Apostle Paul's life. This was reality in Titus and Timothy's life. This can be reality in every one of your lives as well. Well, this is, I love this passage. And it's going to give me soul pain when we finish verse 10, because this is a fantastic passage in the Word of God. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.